Okay, so we're going to have an aleph on the first medium-wide line. Okay, so we mentioned certain things that cause a person to live a long life, and one of those is ma'arich al shulchano. So the Gemara says, v'ma'arich al shulchano, so I spend a long time with my meal, why does that, you know, guarantee me, or, you know, is the bracha that I should live a long life from that? It says, dilma ati anya v'yoyiv leiv, because maybe a poor person will come as a result of being at the table as soon as people are readily accessible to one another, and he'll give them food. Dechtiv, now he quotes a nevuah from Yechezkel, the Ezekiel. It says, Hamizbeach eats shalosh amot gavoam. So Yechezkel, he goes, he sees his vision, I think of the third base of Mekdash, and he says the Mizbeach was three amot high. Uchtiv, I daber eliza shulchan shelchnei Hashem. I think the Malach speaks to him, he says, this is the shulchan which is before Hashem. So he sees the Mizbeach, and the Malach says, this is the shulchan, the table for Hashem. So patach Mizbeach v'sim shulchan. So it begins with the Mizbeach, and he ends with the shulchan. He says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Damri Tarvayu, Kuz man shebin Mekdash kiyam Mizbeach mech Israel. As long as the base of Mikdash stood, so Mizbeach brought kapar for Klal Yisrael. Yashav shulchan av shaldam mechaper lav. Now, the person's shulchan brings kapar for him. He's with the chesed that he does there on the shulchan. So, one day, so they had in the Moroda Daf Yomi today, they were saying that, like if you, in other words, the food is like the korban. In other words, you're giving food to the ani, that's like the korban. And then with the korbanot, there was a shear. So he says, like, if a person says divrei Torah on the table, that's like a shear to it, like the shear that was stung on the base of Mikdash. You have absolute shearim, you say, and then the divrei Torah also a shear. Then the Rebbeinu Bachya mentions that there was a minag that they had, that they would build a person's aron from his table. They would take his table and then build his aron from him. And the idea is that like the aron, the table represents the chesed that he does on the table, the Torah and all the chesed that he does on the table. So that's what they built the aron. All right, let me keep moving. And we have a big long daf today, so I got to keep it moving. I'm sorry. So the Gemara says on the fourth white line. So we said with the first we spoke about ma'arich b'tfilato. For instance, ma'arich is tfilah last long, gets a long life. Ma'arich shulchano. There is ma'arich b'vid akise. But ma'arich b'vid akise, a person spends a long time in the bathroom. He says mal yutu. You mean that's good? We're in the fourth very wide line in Ham and Allah 55a. But Tani, we learned the brisa. There are 10 things. This is medical. Maybe this will you'll be able to help us from here. He says 10 things bring a person to hemorrhoids, and we only need the last item. He says ha'ochel alei kanim alei gafanim. A person eats leaves of reeds or leaves of vines. He says v'lul gave fanim, the shoots of the palm tree. He says umori gave behema. He eats the part of the animal that has ridges in it. It means like it could be the throat or the stomach. They're talking about an animal, like a cow. He says b'shidro shel dag, eat the spine of a fish. The dag maliach shenu hushal kol sarko, he was salty fish that wasn't totally cooked. But shoti shmara yayin, if a person eats the or drinks the wine sediments, mekaneach b'sid b'char sid, a person cleans himself. It means, you know, after he goes to the bathroom with lime or with scharsit is like shards. A person cleans himself with a rock that his friend did. Those are all bad. But here's the key. This is number 11. If a person suspends himself in the bathroom too much, it means like he's squatting to relieve himself. So here we're saying marech beda kise, you have positive comes from, but it sounds like from that price or not. So the Gemara says, there's no contradiction. Hadamarech vitali, hadamarech below tali. In other words, you're right. If you're suspending yourself like that way, crouching down, that's not good. But he says, but if you don't, you're not doing it that way, if you're sitting on something, that's better. Ki hada amrle ahimachrini to the Rabbi Huda Rabbi Lai. You know, like a certain matron, means a Roman noblewoman, said to Rabbi Huda Rabbi Lai, Panecha domim lemigale chazir mavi beribit. Your face looks glows like the people who raise swine and people who lend money usuriously. So it means Rashi says that those professions were not a lot of work, but they had a lot of income from them. So he says, I see you look fantastic, so it must be you're in one of those professions. So Amar La, he said to her, Hey Mnuta, he's taking like Lashon Shvua, Ladidi, the Tarvai Wasirin. For me, they're both prohibited. So the Gemara learns about the Kama that the Asher, a person to be Begadil Chazirin, to raise pigs, when there was an incident where they kept bringing the Korban Tamid, and then one day there was a civil war between Horkinus and Aristotle, and one was inside the city and one was outside the city, but each day they had sort of like this agreement. They would give them the the lambs for the Korban Tamid, and then one day they so somebody said to them, he told them through the Chachma Yevanit that the reason they're not able to conquer the city is because they bring the Korban Tamid. So they gave they put a pig in the basket and they raised the pig, and the pig, you know, put his claws in the wall of the city, and the whole, and all of Israel shuddered. So the Chachma made a gzeira that nobody should be Megadol Chazirim. So that's one thing, and Malvi Beribit is obviously prohibited from the Torah. So he says, "Amar lei nutzal d'itar ba'usirin el shvimi arba beit akisei ika meyushpaisi lebei medrasha." But there are 24 bathrooms between my lodging and the base medrash. Dechi azilna b'dikin nafshay b'kula. When I go there to the base medrash each day, so I check myself in those bathrooms. So it sounds like from here, like they had in the article, they're saying it doesn't sound like it's spending so much time in the bathroom, but checking yourself thoroughly, well, you need to go to the bathroom. We were just talking about hemorrhoids, Michael. You might have been able to weigh in on this a little bit. Did you do this already or not? All right, so anything to say about the hemorrhoids?
You sit a long time, you're going to have hemorrhoids because you're putting tremendous pressure.
Right. That's what the Gemara said. But the Gemara said that he's Marach Shalom Imam Shnotav. If he has a lot of, he's always checking himself whether he needs to go to the bathroom. Anything about that? Okay, let's go forward. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay.
When you said about having Orchim, do they have to be Aniyim?
Well, preferably they should be Aniyim. But, you know, in a sense, if a person has no place for a meal, so in a certain way, he's also an Ani. In other words, you know, let's say a person has nowhere to go for the Seder, so he could have a multi-million-dollar, but he doesn't have a Seder, so that's also a type of, not Ani per se, but a type of needy person. Okay, this is the 10th, 30, or 15th, 30 wide line, 55A.
In the time of the Rabbanim, they used caskets, coffins already? I thought that was more of a modern requirement.
Yeah, so it mentions in the Gemara, mentions the Aron all over the place, the Aron, but I think they may have carried the body in an Aron and then put the body directly into the earth. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So I think in Eretz Yisrael they do that as well, don't they? They transport the body in a coffin and then they put it directly into the ground. Okay. Again, this is a little bit of a digression. We got into this because we had Rabbi Yehuda said three people require shimur, and then one thing led to another with this. So let's get back a little more. There are three things that shorten a person's life. If a person's given a Sefer Torah to read from and he doesn't read from it, so again, Mizman Chazal would actually lane, but it means, we'll see in a minute. And then, if a person's given a Koshal Bracha and he doesn't bench, if a person assumes an air of authority. So the Gemara explains, Sefer Torah Krof Eino Koreim, Dechtiv Kihu Chayecha V'Orech Yemecha. This is the Torah is your life. So if, in other words, in the basic Pshad, in other words, if they're asking me to take an Aliyah and I say no, so I'm shortening my life. Now he mentions Rav Shetha has in his Sefer Nefesh Rav, he says how Rav Chaim Soloveitchik on Simchas Torah, so he was the rabbi of the city, so they would offer him the first hakafa, but he felt that he didn't want to offer the Sefer Torah to anybody else because he felt that it's like this in the same getter, Mishno Nimlo, Sefer Torah Grova Eno Kore, so he would only give it if somebody would ask him, but everybody thought that he's not asking that he likes taking the Sefer Torah, so frequently he'd end up having it for all seven hakafo, not that he was looking for it, but that was the way it would work out. Well, they would offer it to him the first one, so once they offered it to him, so he felt he had to take it. So he says, Koshal bracha levarech and levarech, Koshal bracha, and you don't do it's bad news. I'll bless those who bless you. So if you have a chance to bless, that's the thing you should do, and then you'd be blessed. But Madi Gospel Barabbano, a person assumes the air of authority. So they said in the article it means that in your private life, in other words, maybe you have a public role, but in your private life you assume this air of authority. That's Makasri Yamav. The Amar B'chama Barachanina. They might make Yosef Kodol Merchav. Why did Yosef? He only lived to 110 years. The old Shvatim lived longer. He says, he assumed the air of authority. So they mentioned the art scroll, and the Gra brings down that Yosef is, in other words, he would have lived to 120, but his life was cut to 110 because he heard the brothers say Abdecha Avi. In other words, the brothers come down to Mitzrayim, so Menashe is doing the translating for him, and the brothers say Abdecha Avinu, your servant or father said. And then Menashe translates Avdecha Avinu. So he kept hearing that, and he didn't say, you know, don't say Avdecha Avi or something like that. So that's like an air of authority. In other words, like, I'm the viceroy of Egypt, you know, your father, my servant, you know, like that. So because of that, his life was cut short. All right, let's see back on the Gemara.
To fulfill his to validate his dream, he needed his father to bow down to him.
Yeah, but this isn't even that. In other words, they're talking to him, so he doesn't have to say, you know,
then he would tip his card.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to say, you know, my father, your slave. He doesn't have to say that. And at the very least, he should tell Menashe not to say it. He was translating for him. But there are three things that need rachamim. It means that you need to be mevakish rachamim from Hashem in order to end up with this. One is melech tov, like a good king. He says shana tov, a good year, v'chalom tov, and a good dream. It says in the art scroll that like inachin amei kach baruch hu controls everything, but this in particular requires it. Melech tov is a tzi palgi mayim leiv melech biyad Hashem. The streams of water like the heart of the king, God's hand. Shana tov v'dechtiv tamid enei Hashem. That Hashem's eyes are always on Eretz Yisrael, but it means he controls like the crops, everything else. And chalom tov, a good dream, dechtiv v'tachli meini v'hachayeni. It's the pasuk in Yishai. So it means that, really means, pshuto shemekra means you strengthened me and you gave me life, but the drasha is v'tachli meini, you gave me like a good dream and you sustained me. We'll have more about dreams shortly. So Amar B'yochanan, Shusrim Machriz Alem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, there are three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself decrees about, and he says, and some of them line up with what we said before. They all line up. Bilhin Rav Sova Parnas Tov. So Rav Sova, that relates to the good year, the bad year. In other words, the famine and the plenty. And Parnas Tov is like a Melech Tov, like a good leader. He says Rav, and then they have on the article as well. So Rav Dechtiv Kikarasham Rav Gomer. So the pasuk says that God has summoned the famine. In other words, but you see that Kadosh Baruch was involved with that. Sova Dechtiv Vikaratil the God of your Beit Yotom. Like I'll summon up the grain and I'll increase it. Parnas Tov Dechtiv, it should be by Daber Hashem Moshelimur Rei Karati V'Shem Betzalel V'Gomer. See that I've called the name Betzalel. He's the architect for the Beis Hamik, for the Mishkan, which we're going to have shortly in not this week's parsha, but coming up shortly in parsha Kitisa. So it's in 2 weeks. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Emomenim Parnas Al Tzibur Mekin Mem Lachim Bet Tzibur. You don't appoint a leader unless you consult with the Tzibur. Shneimar Ru'u Kara Hashem B'Shem Betzalel. That see. So the Gemara takes the word see means like how do you feel about it? Hashem is saying. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Hagun Alecha Betzalel. So Hashem says to Moshe, is Betzalel, does that meet your satisfaction? So Amar Lo Ribono Shalom. If it's good for you, I'm happy with it. So Amar Lo, Afal Pichem, Lechem Or Lahem. So notwithstanding that, go speak to Klal Yisrael and see how they feel about it. So Lach Vamar Lam Yisrael, Hagun Lechem Betzalel, is Betzalel, we want to appoint him to be the architect. It's okay. So Amar Lo, Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lefanecha Hu Hagun. If you're happy with it, and if Kadosh Baruch is happy, you're happy with it, we're happy. Lefanei Lekol Shekein. The name Betzalel reflects his chachma, his wisdom. When Akash Baruch said to Moshe, tell Betzalel, they should make for me a mishkan, a tabernacle, Aron v'kelim, the ark and the kelim, the vessels. Halach Moshe b'fach. Moshe flipped it over. So he takes it from this week's parsha with Truma. So it mentions the Kalim, and then it tells you to build the Mishkan. So we assume that's the way that that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Bezalel. He says, so Amar lo Moshe Rabbeinu, minago shel olam, so Bezalel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar lo Moshe Rabbeinu, minago shel olam dambon b'ayib achar chach manis toko Kalim. He says, you told me to build all the Kalim, then build the structure, but normally a person buys a house and then he puts the Kalim in the house. But, you know, you have the house and you bring the sofa and everything else. But tell merely, I say, I run the Kalim Mishkan. Kalim Shani Yosela, hey, Chanach Nisim, where will I put these Kalim? So Shemakach Amar Lecha Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe what a Kadosh Baruch Hu actually said to you was, I say, Mishkan, I run the Kalim, build the Mishkan, the Torah Mekelim. Amar lo, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shem B'tzel Kel, like B'tzal El, B'tzal Kel, you were in the shade of God, Hayita V'yadata, and you knew about this. So, I know Rav Simon in his Sefer, he gives a different Hesberim. There's clearly machloket here between B'tzal and Moshe Rabbeinu, how to build the Mishkan. So he quotes from Rav Yonasan Ibershitz in the Yerot Devash. He says that, like everything has a klipa, like a fruit comes out, and the klipa is that which protects it.
Yeah.
So he says that the klipa like protects it from the koch of satuma. So in the world that we're in right now, you think you need protection from the koch of satuma. But latid lavo, like in the Mashiach Zeitin, you won't. Like it says, Heitiva Hashem b'ritzoncha et Zion. You should improve, build up Zion. Then tivneh chomod Yerushalayim. You build the chomod afterwards. You don't need the protection of Yimon Mashiach. So everything will be in much better shape. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought like we're at the ultimate tikkun. In other words, it's like Mashiach Zeitin. In other words, we had all those miracles. We got the Torah. You know, everything's going to be fantastic. So therefore, I could build the Kalim before I build the Mishkan. I don't need a protection for the Kalim. And Bezalel says, no, it's not that way. And he quoted in the Sefer, he quotes also from Rav Wolfson, who's the Mashkiach in, is it Torah V'das? So he says that in the Sefer Emunati Techa, so he says that there's the Machlok we had in the Gemara here about whether Tfilas Arvis is Rishus or Chova. So between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Gamliel felt it was Chova and Rabbi Yeshua thought it was Rishus. So he says that each of the tefillot, they were established by the Avod, but each one is connected one of the Batei Mikdash. So the Shacharis corresponds to the first base of Mikdash and Mincha corresponds to the second base of Mikdash. So Rabbi Gamliel thought we're poised to build the third base of Mikdash. So Mela, Tfilas Arvis is Chova already. And it was like, it was connected with that. That's what he felt. And it was like, we're at this ultimate time. Yeshua said, no, I don't think it's going to work out that way. So he said, Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. Anyway, that's the basic idea that he, from the Yeros Tavash. Wait, a few more lines and we'll do it. Okay, now, so he says, now there's also another problem. I'm not going to get into it, but when they built the Mishkan, they didn't erect it right away, so it still doesn't even help the problem. In other words, it was in storage for like 6 months till Nisan. So in other words, they built it, so they have the Kalim there, and the Mishkan is not erected till Nisan, so it really doesn't resolve everything. So now, on the fourth wide line, I think they were waiting for the propitious time, the month that Yitzchak was born. Anyway,
What are you fearful about the Kalim? It's going to rain on it?
Oh, you mean why? You said, I gave you a Hezber already, but I don't know what to say. Now, so, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Yudhaya B'tzalel Tzarevoti, Yotchenevru B'hem Shroim V'aretz, that B'tzalel knew how to combine letters that Hashem used to create the heavens and the earth. It says that God invested him with Chachma Tuna Das. It's like Chabad, Chachma Bina Deya. It's, Chachma. So he says, okay, one minute. Uchtiv Hatam, it says elsewhere, it says here this quote, Psukh Mishle, Hashem Chachma Yisarar, it's Kunin Shemai Betvuna. Hashem, he created the earth with Chachma and the heavens with Tevuna. That's Chachma and Tevuna. Uchtiv Dato Tamot Nivka, with his Das, the depths were split. So it means Hashem created the world with Chachma, Bina, and Das, and that's what Bezalel had. Now, I'll come back and tell a story. Rabbi Yochanan and Kachbarhu said, Chachma, let me sheish b'chachma. This is the part we can't even understand. Hashem gives Chachma to a person who has Chachma. We don't understand what these words mean, but Shinemar Yahav Chachma Telechakimen, he says, God gives wisdom to the people who are wise, Umindali Ade Bina, he gives knowledge to those who have understanding. Shamar Rav Techlif Bamarav, so Rav Techlif Bamarav heard that, but Amra Kamid Rabbi Abahu. He said before Rabbi Abahu, Rabbi Abahu was in Eretz Yisrael, Amar Leia, Tunahani Hatamanitullah. Oh, you learn from that Pasuk, Adami Hakamanitullah, Techtiv. We learn from Sukkot Chumash, this is Vlev Kukhacham Lev, the Tati Chokmah. So one derech, so Gavin, we can't understand this. What does it mean to give chachma to a person who has chachma? It sounds like a conundrum. One derech is say when it says the person has chachma, he's got yira. So a person has yira, so Hashem grants him chachma, the original chachma that way. Or another way to say, which I think the way Rav Simon has gone through it, he quotes I think from the Chasam Sofer says this way that it means the person has the desire and the ability, and then Hashem gives him that chachma. In other words, so a person has, you know, the desire to do it, so Hashem gives him the chachma. I think Rav Simon said he quoted it, that it's from the Chasam Sofer, and I think he says that Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldbach, late Rosh Hashiva of Keren B'Yavne, would quote that, you know, with the Talmidim, if they have the desire for Torah, then they'll grow in Torah. All right, let me just say one thing about this thing, which is the Bezalel had Bezalel Kael. So there's a story about Rav Chaim V'Lajner. So I'll make this quick because we're running out of time. So when he was the founder of the Vlajner Yeshiva, so the Vlajner Yeshiva was a different type of yeshiva than it existed before. Yeshivas were on local affairs prior to that. So he, Rav Chaim V'Lajner, found this yeshiva would be like a national yeshiva for everybody in Europe or even the world. And it's the tradition is that he discussed it with the Vilna Gaon before the Vilna Gaon died. The Vilna Gaon died in 1797, and the Relation Yeshiva was founded around 1802, 1803. Anyway, so when he founded the yeshiva, he needed financial support for it. So he had these subscriptions people would give. You would give a certain amount of money each year. So Rav Chaim V'Lajner had this fellow who would go around his fundraiser or whatever. He would travel the wagon and raise and bring in the money. So his fellow says to him, "Look, I'm going to meet all these gevurim. You know, I can't go around with like these tzris and begadim, like these ripped garments. I need some nice clothes. So I want to take some money to buy some nice clothes. I look like a mensch when I go to these people. So he's fine." He says, "You know, and I can't wait around for a wagon. You know, a wagon driver, because, you know, I'm like delayed with those. So I like want to get a wagon and a driver." So he says, "Fine." So he takes the wagon, the driver. So he goes. There was this one fellow. He was a peasant. He would give, I think, I don't know, a sum of money to the yeshiva each year, which was a nice sum. But then when he showed up, this fellow with the nice clothes and the wagon and the horse and the whole thing, he said, "I'm not giving anything to this yeshiva. I've had it," and he didn't give it to him. So when he came back to the yeshiva, so Rav Chaim would go over his books with him, and he sees that the guy didn't give it to him. This is what happened. He says, "He decided not to give." I said, so he says, "Look, next time you go, I want you to call me. I want to go. I want to visit this person." So eventually the time came and he went to see him again. So he comes to the person. He says to him, "Do you know Gemara?" He says, no, I don't know Gemara." He says, "Do you know Mishnah?" "No, I don't know Mishnah." "Do you know Chumash?" "Yeah, Chumash I know." "Okay, so fine, bring me a Chumash." So he brings him out of Chumash and he reads from the Pasuk. It says, "Re'u kar Hashem Shem, Betzalel ben Uri ben Kurin Leta Yehuda." It says, "Vamalei oto ruach lokim b'chachma and spoon of God and b'chom lacha." That Hashem filled Betzalel with his chachma and he knew the secret of the Othio, Shemem Nivru Shemai Va'aretz. He says, and then he says, "La sofa zahava kesef v'nechoshet," that he knew how to deal with gold and silver and copper. But he says, "Isn't that a put down?" Here he's telling him like he's a big chachma, big gaon. He knows all the secrets of creation. And then he says he knows how to deal with gold and silver and copper. It's like you say, you'd introduce like a gaon. So he's a gaon. He's baki and shas. He's with all the chidushim, and he's a good tailor also. So what would he put down? So he says, "What is Torah mean by this?" So he says that when they built the Mishkan, so everybody who gave a contribution, they all wanted their contributions to be used in the most coveted way. So everybody who gave gold, "My gold I want in the Aron. I don't want my gold in the Chatzir, I want it in the Aron." Everybody felt this way. So Bezalel knew how to look at the contribution itself and divine what the intent of the donor was. If the intent of the donor was very pure, then it goes in the Aron. If not so pure, it goes maybe in the further out, and less pure further out. So he says to him, "I left something out." When he came in, he said, "How come you're not giving me money?" He says, "I'm not giving money because I saw this guy come around with the suit and the horse, the whole thing, so I didn't feel like giving any money for it." So he says that, "Your money, your intent is very good. So your money, the money you give, that goes for the Talmidim, the Gemaras, the study, and things like that. Other people, they give their contributions. They don't have such good intent. That's going for the wagon, the horse, and the whole thing." So the guy liked it, and I think he gave the money afterwards. All right, time for questions, comments, thoughts. Okay, what do we got?
Good fundraiser.
Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts? Anything? All right, let's keep moving.
What year it was with that?
Tayuda, Talmud, or even Hur, and Tayuda. Okay, let's take a look. Now, so we're at two lines. We're six lines from the bottom. Okay, so Amar of Chista, Kol Chalom Velo Tavad. There's different ways to explain this Gemara, but he says, you know, every Chalom is acceptable, but the one Lo Tavad, not the one that's in a fast. So either it means if a person sees himself fasting in a Chalom, that's not a good sign, or else the Pshat in the Gemara means any dream that he has while he's fasting, it may be a bad dream, but it's nothing to worry about. A dream that's not interpreted is like a letter that's not read. So Rav Chista says a good dream is not entirely fulfilled and a bad dream is not entirely fulfilled. That a bad dream is in a way better than a good dream, because a bad dream prompts you to do tshuva and improve yourself. A bad dream, like the sadness that occurs enough. In other words, one way to say is my misery that I feel when I hear the dream is enough to be mekayim whatever gzera was that I should have something bad happen. The good dream, like his happiness hearing the dream, that's enough to fulfill like the good message. Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef was blind. He says that a good dream, even for me, like in other words, like the happiness from it that takes. That's the whole sachar from the dream. A bad dream is worse than lashes. God did his actions so people should be fearful of him. It means the idea is that you see the bad dream, and a person Rashi says is worried about the dream, so that acts like lashes. But Rabbi Bar Barchan, Rabbi Yochanan Zechalom Ra, Rabbi Yochanan says that refers to a bad dream. Now Hanavi Asher Ito Chalom Yisaper Chalom. Now this pasuk is in Yirmiyah. He's talking about they had like the false prophets and the true prophets. So the true prophets are saying the base mix is going to be destroyed for all your Beirut, and the bad prophets are saying nothing to worry about, nothing to worry, nothing to worry about. So Yirmiyah says Hanavi Asher Ito Chalom Yisaper Chalom. The prophet in quotation marks who's got a dream will say. A dream. But the one who's got the word of God will say the MS. So what does straw have to do with, or chaff have to do with wheat? Hashem says. Meaning the Shuto Shemikwar means you can't pay, like it's like kasha with mun. It was the Navi Sheker, it's like the chaff, and the Navi MS is like the grain. But the Gemara says, what does a bar like grain and chaff have to do with a dream? Just like you can't have the grain without the straw or the chaff, so too every dream has got some devarim betalim in it. So Rebrechia says a dream, even though some is fulfilled, but all of it's not fulfilled. He says, where do we know this from? Yosef, Theophis has his dream, he sees the sun and the moon bowing down to him, and the moon represents his mother, but his mother was dead already. So Vahishaita, top line on the days, his mother wasn't around at that point in time. So Rashi says over there, and there's a medrash that brings down that it could refer to Bila, who was his mother's Shifcha, but Bila didn't. The Gemara here doesn't mention that because Bila didn't survive till the time when they went down to Egypt. So the point is that he's saying that every dream, even Yosef's got these wonderful dreams, but has something in it not so correct. Amr Blavin, let me spend a Kolom Tov, Esri Mitarti Shana. So a person should wait for the fulfillment of a good dream up to 22 years. Menalan mi Yosef. Where we see this from Yosef, the thief, Eilat Tadol Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvaz Reshana Begomer. Yosef was 17 when he sold into slavery. Yuchtiv Yosef ben Shloshim Shana, Bobdolvni Paro Begomer. He's 30 when he stands before Paro. So the Gemara says, Min Shavaz Reh Tlatin Kamahave, from 17 to 30. How many years elapsed? Tlatzrei, that's 13. Vishav de Sava, and then there were 7 years of plenty, so we're up to 20 years. Vitarti de Kaflin, 2 years of famine. So is Chafbez. And Rashi brings down that Yosef says, he says to his brothers that we've already had 2 years of famine. So, and then that's when Yaakov comes. So it was 22 years. So he has the dream, and 22 years later, he sees it fulfilled. So Amar Rav Huna. Now Rav Huna says, "Li Adam Tov Ein Marin Lo Chalom Tov." Now that's the way we have an argument. If you look, there's another gear on the right hand side, which is the way the Rashi has it. Li Adam Tov Marin Lo Chalom Ra. For a good person, they show a bad dream. Li Adam Ra Marin Lo Chalom Tov. And for a bad person, they show a good dream. We'll see in a minute. He says. He says, so back in the Gemara, the Adam Tov in Marin Lo Chalom Tov, you don't show him a good dream, but it was like a bad dream. Adam Ra in Marin Lo Chalom Ra, Tanin Nami Hachi, Choshtav Shal David Lo Ra Chalom Tov, that during the lifetime of David, he never saw a good dream, but Choshtav Shal Achi Tofel Lo Ra Chalom Ra. Achi Tofel was bad news. He's the one who advised Avshalom, he committed suicide, so he never saw a bad dream. So it's true, Enes is true. So he's saying a good person never sees a good dream. In other words, he always sees a bad dream. Ini b'haktiv, there's a pasuk that says, lo tu nechal ra, like nothing bad should happen to you. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. V'amar av chista, amar av yirmi bar abba, shlo yaf hilucha lo chalamod ra'im, lo hirim ra'im. So it says you shouldn't be like frightened by bad dreams and bad thoughts. V'nega lo yikrabo alecha. Okay, we're on the fourth very wide line on Nunham Vez 55b. V'nega lo yikrabo alecha, and no pestilence should enter your tent. That when you come home from a long trip, that's when you want to most be intimate with your wife, so she shouldn't be a safek nida. Now, if she's a nida, it's difficult, but at least you know she's zasur. But sometimes, like, if it's a safek isur, it's harder to resist from, because you think to yourself, well, maybe she's really not a nida, or like that. So you have to, like, really tamp down the yitzhara. When it's a safek, it's a lot more challenging than when it's vadai. So, but the point is, though, that here we're saying that Hashem doesn't cause bad dreams to people who were tzaddikim, and yet we said before that that was the other way around. So we have a stira. So we had the statement from Rav Huna that the good people do see bad dreams, but then we have this memra, this brisa, that says that if you're good, you don't see bad dreams. So the Gemara says on the fifth wide line, Ela'iu lo chazile achrini chazule. So the Gemara wants to say, revises understanding, so when Rav Huna said that the good person they don't show a good dream to, he means that he doesn't see the bad dream, but other people will dream about him, and they'll see the bad dream. So that's what we're thinking. So he says, V'chilo chaza ihu malyutu. So it means, so we're saying like this, that the good person doesn't see the good dream. We don't want him to become complacent and, you know, lackadaisical, you know, everything's going great for me, I think this portends good. But he doesn't see the bad dream either. So that means he doesn't have any dreams. So he says here, so v'chilo chaza ihu malyutu. So if he doesn't see a bad dream, is that good? Ba'amar Zira, in other words, he's not seeing any dream. Ba'amar Zira, Zera, who launched Shemayami below Chalom, Nikwara. If a person, he sleeps for 7 days, like over the course of 7 days, he doesn't see a dream, he's called Ra, evil. Shenemar, V'sabeya Yalin Ba'yipakeid Ra. The Pasuk Pshuto Shemikra means he'll lie down satiated, nothing bad will happen to him. Atikre Sabeya L'Sheba. Don't read the Sabeya L'Sheba. In other words, it means that he'll sleep over the course of 7 nights, and he won't see anything bad in the dream. So that's not good. Not good. So Elahaki Kamar. So Gemara again revises Rav Huna's statement. The Chaza v'lo yada b'chaza. In other words, that the tzaddik, he'll see dreams, and he won't understand what they are. He won't remember what the dreams. So he will have dreams, but he won't remember what they are. And he won't have good dreams, but he'll have bad dreams, but he won't remember what they are. And that's the way that works.
But Yosef saw a good dream. He was a good person, saw a good dream.
Yeah, so there's a lot to explain about all these dreams, and there's different types of dreams and things like that. So the Gemara, there's different types of dreams. So some types of dreams are nevuah. That's straightforward. And other types of dreams are nothing to do with nevuah. Other types of dreams are just, you know, nothing. Then other types of dreams, like, are dreams that are susceptible to a lot of different interpretations. So a lot of the Gemaras, you have to dice out exactly which ones he's talking about. So he says, okay, now, if a person, he sees a dream and he's very upset about the dream, he thinks the dream portends something very bad, he should have it interpreted in front of three people. So but Rav Chisda said a dream that's not interpreted is like a letter that's not read. So if I think it's bad, why want to have somebody interpret it? That's better left uninterpreted. So Ela Ema, and you know, there's a Beis Halevi, he says that with Yosef, like when Yosef has his dreams, so the first dream is Bineh Shemesh Berech. Now, first he says, we say Nachum Malmi Malmi Betocha Sadeh. Right. So he says we're bringing sheaves in the field. So then the brothers say Hamalok Timalok Leinu Mashol Shobanu. So the Beis Halevi says, once they interpreted it, they said, what did we do? Like, in other words, Yosef had the dreams. 55b, around the 10th very wide line. Okay, so Yosef has this dream with the sheaves, and the brothers interpret it, and they say, Gevalt, what did we do? We interpreted the dream. That means that's the way it's going to be. So then the second dream, they don't interpret. They just, like, they're angry, but they don't interpret the dream.
It's
so he said,
the tenth very wide line.
What?
It's the middle wide line.
Say again.
I said it.
Okay. Okay. Forgive me. Okay. The medium wide lines. Okay.
Right.
Now. Okay. 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 All right. Now you have it. Okay. 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 Now. All right. So now the Gemara says El Ema Yitiven B'fnei Shlosha. He should have three people. You know, not to interpret the dream, but they should be meitiv it. They should like improve the dream. He said, well, it's been a, so as you know, there's a in the Siddur they have, and there's not too many people in Great Neck do it. Although there was the one woman, I don't say who, she came here, she was visiting, and her husband, anyway, she had this dream and she was very upset about it, and we did a Hatavat Chalom for her. So he says, you bring three people and you say in front of them, I saw a good dream. And they should say to the person, it's good or it should be good. Hashem should make it good. Seven times from Shemayim it should be goes there, that should be good, and it should be good. And some want to say that they should say it seven times, a different way to do it. So then they should say psukim that contain three hafuchot, where things get changed from bad to good, three peduyah, things are redeemed, and three shalom, things shalom. Shalom shosh hafuchot, hafach tabasbedin l'macholi, pitasaki pitazrein simcha. This we say every morning before Baruch Shamar in Mizmor Shirchan Kadabai Ladavid. You've changed my morning, my sackcloth, forgiven me, and you've opened my sackcloth, and you've girded me with simcha. And then us, second passage is talking about changing mourning to happiness. He says, he changed the klal to a bracha. So you say those three psukim. Then shalosh peduya, three psukim that came peduya, redemption. You've redeemed in shalom my soul mikrabli from like engaging in battle. Ufduye Hashem yishuvon v'gomer, those are redeemed, Hashem should return. And then the third is Vayomer Amashul Yonatan Modesher Saishua Begomer. So this is talking about there was an incident where Shaul, he's in Melchama with the Plishtim, and he says any soldier that has anything to eat, we're going to war with the Plishtim, and they figure that he wanted to be on an empty stomach, so that he'll die. And Yonatan went off. He didn't hear about this. I think it was a shvuah that he gave all of the whole of the people. And he ate something. And then he came up. And so the people said, "No, Yonatan. He was very successful today in battle. He shouldn't die." So it says, "But Yomar Amal Shula, Yonatan Yimod Shir Sa Yishua V'Gomer." So it's committing a pasuk. You need the end of the pasuk. It says, "Vayivdu Ha'am and Yonatan V'Lomei." So the nation, they redeemed Yonatan and he didn't die. So it says mentioned Pidyon. Shalosh Shlomo, three psukim with Shalom, the Ti Borein of Sotayim, Shalom Shlomo, Rachok Lakarov, Amar Hashem Rufativ, the one who creates the utterance of lips, Shalom for the far and the near, Hashem says, and I'll cure it. Ruach Lafshan Amasai, Rosh Hashem, again, it goes to the beginning of the Pesach, and then the Pesach. Rosh Hashem says, so it says shalom lo zrecha, shalom to the people who help you, that pasuk. Your shalom and your shalom. Alright, so any questions, comments to the thing we did so far? Okay, let me go on. So let me take a look in for more station identification. 1 minute.
Do we have less dreams today than we used to have?
I don't know about that. I can't answer. 1 second.
It's probably what's that.
Alright. I just read about the dreams. He says the topic of dreams discussed by the Gemara is complex, that there seems to be several contradictory statements regarding the credibility of dreams. Some statements of the Gemara indicate that dreams are indeed accurate, portent of the future. Some dreams are inherently bad, while others are inherently good. Other statements indicate the outcome of a dream depends on its interpretation. Yet other statements indicate that dreams are merely a result of one's daytime thoughts, and therefore have no significance at all. See the Marsha Rabin Abach, who explained there are several different types of dreams. So I mentioned, I touched on that. And he cites the art scroll here. This is from the Aladaf. Okay, let's take a look back on the Gemara. And he has a piece. Did you mention this, Michael, in terms of relying on dream with respect to halakhic matters? See the Gemara in Sanhedrin.
Very famous.
The Rechalamot Lomalin Lomaridin.
The coffee's grown. I don't know. And he said it was mutter, and he spilled the coffee and couldn't sleep that night or something. So there are different things.
All right, let's. All right.
I didn't listen to that today.
All right, let's go. Who should listen to? Bronstein? Who?
It's really Bronstein.
Okay. All right. Now we're on the fourth very wide line, on the fourth very wide line, on Nun Hayam and Beis. Okay. Amemar Marzut Ravashi, Abiyafi Bahadi Adadi. So these three Chachamim, Amemar Zut Ravashi, they're all sitting together. I'll go a little slower now. We're up to top pace. Amri Kol Kabachaminan, Lema Milta, Lo Shmile Lechabre. Let everyone say something that the other one has not heard. So everybody should say Dvar Torah that nobody else has heard. So one of them began and he said, Haiman the Chaza Chelma, if a person sees a dream, Lo Yada the Mai Chaza, he doesn't know, I think, what it means, what the interpretation of the dream is. Lekum Kamikane Bidam the Parsi Yadaihu, he should get up for the Konim when they're duchening, when they're spreading their hands. Velema Hachi, you should say like this. And this is substantial, similarly, Rafi, do you feel like getting me Yitzchak Yari Sitter? Thank you very much. So he says, Velema Hachi, you should say like this. And this is substantially similar to what we do say. He says, Ribono Shalom, Ani Shalach, Vaklom Atai Shalach. Shalom, I'm you, I'm yours, and my dreams are yours. Chalom Chalamti, Ben Yedim Mahu. I dreamt something, I don't know what it means. Ben Shalamti, Ani Latzmi, Ben Shalamu, Li Achave Rai. Whether I dreamt about myself, or other people dreamt about me, Ben Shalamti, Al Chave Rai, or I dreamt about other people. If they're good, so strengthen them like the Kalamot of Yosef. Those are good dreams. And if they require refuah, like to improvement, so bring refuah to it, like the Meimara were bitter waters and then they made sweet. Like Miriam had Saras and he cured her of it. Chizkiah was sick and he got better from it. Like the waters of Yericho were also very brackish waters. And Elisha was able to straighten it out. That's the Gemara in the Sota. The Gemara says the people came to Elisha, and the Gemara says that the grace of a place is the people who live in a place are convinced that the place is always a nice place, even though it's. So they said, how do we know? We know from Elisha. So the people come. Everybody was dying from this brackish water and things like that, and the crops didn't grow. And they come to Elisha and they say, you can see what a beautiful place this is, but we have a problem with the water. So they said, the water is brackish and everybody's dying. What's a beautiful place? That's terrible. But the Gemara says, Mikam Lachin Makom Ayoshva. The people who grow up and live in a place, they think it's like beautiful. You know, it's like, so in other words, like you live in a place, get used to it, and you think it's beautiful no matter what's doing. So anyway, so we say, just like he changed the klala of Bilam to a bracha. In other words, he wanted to give a klala, but he made a bracha. So the idea is, you want to conclude that tefillah. In other words, like the Konim are saying each bracha. So the Konim, they're singing, ay, 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 ay. We're saying this tefillah. And then when they conclude the ay 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 ay, so everybody says amen to the bracha of the konim, and they're saying amen to this tefillah as well. And that's the way it goes. So three times you'll say this tefillah. Let me get the tefillah out here. Now we Ashkenazim only do this on Yantiv. Now the post can bring down that Mistami, everybody should say it because everybody must have had a dream between, let's say Pesach will come up. So Mistami had a dream between Sukkot and Pesach. But the Mishnah brings down, like, then on the second day Yantiv, he says, if a person didn't have a dream the night before, he should not say it. In other words, let's say the first day Yantiv is on a Thursday, so you're duchening. Second day Yantiv is on a Friday. So Thursday you covered everything for the last 6 months, but now on Thursday night, if you didn't have a dream, or you don't remember any dreams, so he says not to say it. Now, let me get the duchening out here. Wait, one second. Now, so when we say it, it's not, they're not saying the psukim. When they say the psukim, we're quiet. That's the idea. Saying the psukim, quiet, but now they're just singing, so we say it. Now, at the end of the tefillah, it says, B'tishmereni u'tuchaneni b'tirtzeni. So the post can bring down that each end is for a different time. So in other words, when the first bracha, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, you should end tefillah b'tishmereni. The second is v'chuneka, you should end it u'tuchaneni. The third time, in v'yaseh melech ha'shalom, you should end b'tirtzeni. So it means like there's three different endings for that tefillah. Now, The one way is to do that. This is what Rav Schachter said to me, is to say it three times. Now, some people, the third time around, instead of saying this tefillah, they have this other tefillah that's here in the Sidurim. So that's another way to go with it. All right, let's just see the end of this piece out. Now, the Gemara says, Ve'ilo le'mahachi. Now, if it doesn't work out this way, so it could be maybe he finished too early, so now he's got more time. But if you look on the side, he says the gears of the riff and the rushes. When the konim turn their backs and now they're facing the aron, he should say like this: Adir b'marom shochem b'gvura atashalom shemcha shalom. Like God, you are shalom. Your name is shalom. You were something for nechshtim aleinu shalom. You should give a shalom. So that's the first piece. Let me just quickly. I'm running out of time again. This is what says like a train here. 1 second. It says here, 1 second. One second. Right. So he finished early. He should say that at Adir B'Marom. Right. Right. He says, Armin, I used to do it after they complete the blessing and have turned around. It's based on a variant in the Gemara. We did that already. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, patach idach. So there are three chachamim. That's the first chacham says like that. Patach idach va'amar haiman da'ayilamata. If a person enters a city, v'dachil me'ein abisha, he's afraid of ayin ra hara. That people looking with ayin hara. One way to understand ayin hara is that the way the Mechtam Eliyahu has, and they quote it in the art scroll, it means the brachot that Hashem gives you is to like do good things on this earth. But if I flaunt, let's say, wealth or kids, whatever the item is, and I cause pain to other people, so that creates an ayin hara. In other words, I'm not using the gifts that Hashem or the good things that Hashem has given me. I'm not using it the proper way. Mm. He says, linkot zak v'diyad d'mina b'yadad d'smalei, zak v'diyad d'smalei b'yadad d'mina. He should take his two thumbs like this. I don't know why with the thumbs. He says, v'lei mahachi, say like this, ana ploni bar ploni mizar di Yosef katina. I, Ploni, the son of Ploni, I'm from the progeny of Yosef. He's immune to ayin hara. He says, shenemar bein parat Yosef, bein parat aliyayim v'gomer. Yosef is a comely child. He's like a beautiful child, charming child, beautiful to behold. So al tikri aliyayim, don't read like beautiful to behold, ela olayayim. He's above the eye. In other words, he's immune from the ayin hara. So the bracha by Ephraim Menashe is that they should like fishify. They should be multiplied like fish. He says, just like the dagim al yam, the water covers them and they're protected from ayin hara. And then Rabbi Sri Harari, he studies at YU. He said that he thought the pshat was that light refracts it. In other words, if I look in one location, I think the fish is there, but he's really in a different location. So I can't really have an ayin hara on the fish. But the simple pshat is that the water is like protecting them. Yosef He says, v'idachil me'ein abisha delay. And if he's worried about his own ayin hara, maybe that he's going to have ayin hara over somebody else. Let's see a tarfa de nechire de smale. He should tap the left nostril. So I don't understand the significance of that, but that's what it has with the ayin hara. Okay, patach idach me'amar. The third chacham said, Haiman the chalish. If a person doesn't feel so well, he feels shvach. The first thing he should not reveal it to people. He says, so it's mazel ben. In other words, it's like al tiftach pel satan. Like the person says, God forbid, he thinks he's coming down with pneumonia or something like that. So al tiftach pel satan. But after that, he should reveal to everybody. In other words, then it's already established that he's got this illness. He had the rabba, he had a chalish. When rabba would become ill, yom kamal ligli, the first thing he wouldn't reveal to anybody. From that day forward, he said to his attendant, "Puk Akhris, go and announce to everybody, Rabbi Chalish, Rabbi's feeling sick." So people who like me will be Vakish Rachmim. That's what it says. Tamei Tamei Ikrai, a person should be Modi Tzaro the Rabbim, and Rabbim Vakishim Lav Rachmim. He says, "Uman Desani Li Lachadili." Then a party who hates me, he'll like celebrate. He says, "Uchtib in Polo Yivchal Tismach Uvikashloi Agili Becha Penirisha V'Rabbi Nava Shivim Lav." So when your enemy is downcast, don't celebrate, because God look at, you know, at what's happening. You're celebrating, and he'll say, you know what, this guy is not such a good guy. In other words, the one who's celebrating, I'm going to take this guy's calamity and put it on him. So either way, Rav says, I'm in good shape. So we'll tell everybody I'm sick. Some people will pray for me, other people will celebrate. Either way, I work out better. Shmuel ki avachazi chel mabisha. When Shmuel would see a bad dream, Amar, he said, v'achalamod, the dreams are just speak falsely. When you see a good dream, he says, do dreams speak falsely? I speak through dreams. Rava Rami, again, so there's different types of dreams. So we said before, like there's one type of dream which could be nevuah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then other types of dreams are susceptible to a lot of different interpretations. And then some dreams don't mean anything. Rava Rami, one pasuk says, I speak to a Navi through a dream. Another pasuk says that the dreams are falsehood. Lo kasha. So the Gemara says no kasha. It depends whether the malachs gave it or the shade, like the demon gave it. There were 24 interpreters of dreams in Yerushalayim. Once I had a dream, I went to all of them. So what A interpreted, B didn't interpret, but all the interpretations were fulfilled with me. To fulfill, we think it's a pasuk, that all dreams follow the way they're interpreted. So the Gemara says, after Kol Komon Ol Kimar HaPeh Krahu, is that really a pasuk? He says, in it is. Rabbi Lazar, the Amr Blazar, that those words are not a pasuk, but how do we know that all Kalamot depend on the way they're interpreted? Shnemar, Bahi Kashir Patalanu Kinaya, that this is what the Saramashkim comes to Paro. He says, the way that he, Yosef, interpreted dreams, that's the way it worked out. So Amr Rava, provided he interpreted it in a way that fits in with the dream. Shenemar Ishka Chalamo Patar. Says that Yosef interpreted each dream according to the dream. So he says Vayar Sarofim. So then the Sar HaOfim says Kito Patar. So Manai Yada. How did the Sar HaOfim know that Yosef had done a good job of interpretation? So Amar Blazer Mameish Kol Chadikad Haru Chalamo Pitron Chalamo Shel Chaveiro. That each of the Sar Mashkim and the Sar HaOfim, they each had a dream, but they also dreamt the interpretation of the other person's dream. So Sar Mashkim had his own dream, and he also dreamt of the interpretation of Sar HaOfim. Sar HaOfim had a dream, and he also dreamt of the interpretation of Sar Mashkim. So when Sar HaOfim heard the way Yosef had interpreted Sar Mashkim's dream, he said, yeah, I heard the interpretation, let me hear it, you can interpret my dream. So he says here, Amar B'Yochanan, Hishkim V'Rafalo Pasuk L'Tokpi V'Reizin Avu Ketana. If a person gets up, and somehow like a pasuk is just like on his lips, he feels like saying this pasuk, that's a type of Nevu Ketana, a type of small prophecy. Amar B'Yochanan, Shosh Chalamot Mekayimin, there are three chalamot that are sustained, that do our MS. Chalom shel shacharit, a dream that one has close to waking in the morning. Chalom shel chalom lo chaveiro, a dream that his friend has about him. Chalom shel niftar b'to chalom, a dream that he sees interpreted in his dream. V'yesh omer af chalom shel nishnan, some say a dream that's repeated twice. Shenemar b'el hishanot chalom v'gomer, it says Paro dreams twice. So Yosef says, you know, it says kinachon al kimim mahalokim mahir al kimas sato. Or in Paro's case, it wasn't the same dream, but it was like the dream was similar, you know, message. So Amrish, the same message. Amrish Wadakman and Yonatan in Marla Lidamilami Hurreli Bo. So this statement says the person is only shown what he's thinking about. So it's the undercutting, and we said there were different types of dreams. Shinemar at Malka Rayanakam Shkab Khaslikum. So the Pasuk says, your thoughts, you know, went up on your dream. So here Daniel was asked to tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream, which he didn't tell him the dream and the interpretation of it, but the Gemara was darkening out that you're dreaming what you're thinking of. You'll know like the thoughts of your heart. You see, never person never sees a golden date palm tree. He doesn't see an elephant going through the eye of a needle. Okay, top line. I'm in the case of Rabbi Yeshua. The Caesar said to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Hananya, Amritu the Chachmitu Tuva. They say, you say you're so wise or whatever. Amenly my Chazina B'chamai. Tell me what I will dream tonight, my dream. So Amenly Chazit B'shachariot L'parsoi. He says, you'll dream that the Persians will oppress you. V'garbi lach, they'll enslave you. V'rai bach shkatze b'chutra t'dava. And you'll have to take care of like these pigs with the golden staff. here a kuli yoma, so he kept thinking about it the whole day. Ulaorta chazan, the evening he saw that. All right, so that's mostly daf yomi today. Now let me just see what I have here, and then we'll take it a day. One second. Now Shabbos. I think we're at 4:15. I think the Shabbos. Okay, I'll talk about the thing about not taking the aliyah. So we said that if you're one of the things with katzir yamav shel talmud, if a person is called to read from the Torah and he doesn't read from it, so he says this passage, the interdiction of refusal to quote the Torah is codified by the Rif and the Rush. However, very interestingly, it's not recorded by the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. So the Rif and the Rush bring this halacha, but the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't. The Eliyahu Rabbah posits that this is omitted due to a change in the reading custom. In Talmudic times, each person who was called to Torah would read himself read. However, to the custom is that there's an established reader who reads for each person called. Some poskim do respond to the challenge of the Eliyahu Rabbah. That's the Eliyahu Rabbah's Hesber. Today it doesn't apply. So nevertheless, some of the premier commentators of Shulchan Aruch do cite this statement, notwithstanding the fact that the operative custom in many communities is that there isn't an established reader. Here are some additional applications presented by the postkim. He says the malediction applies only if the person was called to read the Torah and refused, but if the person senses he will be called, he may leave between aliyahs before being called. Should we know that Reb Chaim Palagi records a frightening incident? He was a rabbi in Turkey in the 19th century, where an individual who was called to the Torah got up and left. Within a month, a terrible end befell him. Some poskim opine that there is permission to refuse is justifiable. Examples, if one's brother had been called the previous aliyah, if one is called to maftir, but is aware that another congregant has yortzeit that day, it would be very hurt if he was overlooked. However, if his refusal is because he doesn't like the reader, or the portion he's being called to isn't exciting to him, that's so they give them the tochacha. These are not considered justifiable reasons for refusal. Basis is found for this concept of exception in the words of the Meiri, who qualifies refusal as being out of arrogance. This implies that if the refusal is not out of pompousness but has some justification, it can be permitted. Barring justifiable cause, a person should exercise true caution in regard to this matter and not refuse an aliyah. Okay, that's it for tonight. I'll see you later on.